never is a long time, Jamie muttered. Don't waste time or effort on it, Carlton insisted. Don't waste the limited resources we have on bringing more philologists here. They can study the imagery back in their offices on Earth. I suppose so, said Jamie. We'll never understand their writing, I'm afraid. It's just not possible. A sly smile crept slowly across Chang's fleshy face. Auguste Comte, he murmured. Auguste what? Jamie asked. Comte, said Chang. 19th century French philosopher. Founder of positivism. What's he got to do with Martian writing? Carlton wondered. Comte said it would forever be impossible to learn chemical composition of stars. Yet within few years, astronomers started to use spectroscopy to do precisely that. Jamie grinned. With spectral analysis, you can determine the chemical composition of anything that glows, and a lot more. Chang finally turned in his chair to face the anthropologist. There is another old Chinese proverb, Dr. Carlton. Never say never. London, Rock Rats Music, Inc. Raphael Goodbar was not his real name, of course. But then music producers seldom used their true names anymore. The Reverend Caleb Mordecai hadn't used his baptismal name in many years either. Willie Barkham just sounded too wimpy for a man who was rising in the eyes of the Lord. Names aside, Reverend Mordecai had a mission to accomplish here, and Raphael Goodbar wasn't making it easy for him. Goodbar was obviously Jewish, thought Reverend Mordecai. He had the heavy-featured, fleshy face and hooded eyes of a son of Israel. He was wearing a luridly flashy short-sleeved shirt that exposed his flabby, hairy forearms. Mordecai half expected to see tattoos, but none were evident. "Let me understand you," said Goodbar, smiling. Reverend Mordecai thought the smile looked forced, oily, devious. "You want to put me out of business?" "Not at all," the minister replied. "We merely request, mind you, that you allow our editorial board to review the lyrics of your songs before they are recorded." "Editorial board," Goodbar said heavily. "You mean censors?" "Heavens no," Mordecai exclaimed. "We do not censor. That would be illegal, or so the secular courts have maintained." "So what does your editorial board do?" "We make suggestions, recommendations, actually. When we find lyrics in a song that are offensive, we recommend that they be altered." "And if I don't make the alterations?" "We suggest to the faithful that they boycott the song."
"Just the one song?"
It was Mordecai's turn to smile. "That would be impractical at best. No, we recommend that our followers boycott everything that the producing company puts on the market."
"Which would put the producer out of business."
Mordecai glanced heavenward, then leveled his mild blue eyes at Goodbar. "If you are disseminating lyrics that harm impressionable young listeners, you are doing the devil's work, Mr. Goodbar. You don't deserve to remain in business." Goodbar countered, "But this is all a matter of opinion, isn't it? What you think is harmful, other people enjoy listening to."
"They enjoyed marijuana and other drugs before we put a stop to the narcotics traffic," Mordecai snapped.
"Oh, the drug business has been stopped. I hadn't noticed."
"The man is an unrepentant sinner," Mordecai said to himself. Leaning his hairy forearms on his desktop, Goodbar added,
"You're trying to censor songwriters, which would never hold up in the courts, and you know it. We still have a few rights remaining, Reverend."
Icily, Mordecai replied,
"And the God-fearing people of this nation have the right to boycott the kinds of unmitigated trash that you and your kind spew into the ears of impressionable young people."
Goodbar spread his hands in a gesture that Mordecai found distinctly and repulsively Semitic.
"Look," said the producer, "you know, and I know, that this isn't about religion or morality. You just don't want the kids to hear anything that challenges their authority figures. You don't want anything that doesn't toe your line."
We will not tolerate any challenges to the word of the Lord.
Bloody nonsense, Goodbar said amiably. Mordecai flinched.
So go ahead and boycott, Goodbar said. See how much good it does you. The kids will just want to hear the songs even more once they know the Holy Disciples is against them.
It'll be good publicity for me.
You think so?
We'll see.
Mordecai rose to his feet. Goodbar remained seated behind his desk. The minister went to the office door, hesitated, then turned back toward the producer.
You're either on God's side, or you're doing the work of the devil, Mordecai warned.
You can go to hell, Goodbar said cheerfully.
No, Mordecai retorted. Hell is where you're heading, and soon.
Raphael Goodbar, whose birth name was Raymond Hirschfield, was shot to death at a Rock Rats concert 3 months later. His killer surrendered easily to the police, smilingly explaining that he was doing God's work. Tithonium Chasma, Excursion Team. Hasdrabal and Rosenberg were arguing again as they drove in the springy-wheeled camper along the floor of the Tithonium Valley.
I say she's a lesbian, Hasdrabal insisted.
Absolute nonsense. Shirley's a virgin, I'm rather certain, but she's as heterosexual as you or I.
Hasdrabal looked down at his partner, sitting in the cockpit seat beside him. The seat's pseudo-leather padding was worn smooth, cracked in places, he noticed. Rosenberg was driving, both hands gripping the little steering wheel, his eyes focused on the bumpy, rock-strewn landscape before them. Rugged red cliffs towered over them on their left.
She's always hanging out with other women, Hasdrabal said, ticking points off on his long, slim fingers. Far as I know, she hasn't come on to any of the guys.
You mean she hasn't come on to you?
Raising a third finger, and when a guy gets near her, she runs in the other direction.
Rosenberg broke into a grin.
Aha! She ran away from you. Can't blame her, actually. You must have frightened her.
Me?
You can appear rather fearsome, you know, like some Watusi warrior in coveralls.
Bullshit, Hasdrabal grumbled.
Still smiling, Rosenberg murmured,
when at a loss for le mot juste, lapse into profanity.
Double bullshit, Hasdrabal said.
He slid out of the right-hand seat and got to his feet like a jointed ladder unfolding, stooping to keep his head clear of the bulbous glass-steel canopy that curved above. He used both hands to steady himself against the folded-up bunks as the camper swayed and jounced over the rough ground.
Extraordinary,
Rosenberg muttered as the biologist headed back toward the lavatory.
Shirley's no lesbian, he told himself. At least she didn't indicate it on her personnel file.
The personnel files were strictly confidential, of course, but any member of the exploration team who had even a halfway knowledge of computer hacking could sneak a peek at them. Rosenberg ran a hand through his tightly curled thatch of strawberry hair.
Perhaps Shirley's clever enough to know that the files aren't actually all that secure, he thought. Perhaps she put herself down as a hetero because she doesn't want anyone to know her true orientation.
The camper rocked sharply as it trundled across a shallow crater.
Hey, watch it! Hasdrabal's voice boomed from the lavatory.
Rosenberg quickly put his free hand back on the steering wheel. Hasdrabal came back past the bunks and bent over Rosenberg's seat.
You need a break? He asked.
Glancing at the digital clock on the control panel, Rosenberg said,
in another 15 minutes.
We'll be there by then.
Right. We can stop and have a bit of lunch before we go outside.
Good enough, Hasdrabal muttered, sliding back into the right-hand seat. Just try to avoid the major potholes, will you?
Rosenberg frowned at his partner.
Ground truth, Hasdrabal said to himself. That's why Chang sent us out this time, to determine if the deep radar imagery from the satellites has really spotted the outlines of another buried ancient village. The sensors can provide us with all sorts of data, but until somebody digs up hard, palpable evidence, the kind you can hold in your hand, the sensor data is suspect. It's not enough, never enough. You need ground truth before you can actually believe it.
Well, it's okay with me. Gives me an excuse to dig up soil samples from another spot. Might find some bugs if we bore down deeper than the damned superoxide layer covering the surface. He tapped the map display.